to know, they really have to know, the current practices of yoga and maybe a little bit more about Buddhism in general. Do you have a makar for the Rabbanut thing that you wrote there about?
Yes, I do.
You could send it to me if there's a, if
there's
they have. It was an actual tshuva.
Is
there a tshuva?
Yeah, they said so.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. It's an old, old question. What happens when a religion loses its religious trappings, but the, well, put it that way, loses its religion, but the trappings remain. So what is our attitude towards it? Okay. You know what, let me just tell you a few of my yesodas in this parasha, just very quickly, and then we'll go back to the Gemara. Parshas Vayera, the very first thing is that something that I say over in the name of the Netziv. The Netziv argues something that seems to be taking the Gemara and literally turning it around 180 degrees. From the Gemara would be mashma that Gedola Achnosas Orchin Yosim Mekabolas Pnei Ashchina is a specific mailin Achnosas Orchin. There's something great about taking care of another Jew. I just wanted to add a little footnote here. Hachnasas Orchim is not, as generally perceived, when you have a neighbor that everything is going well with him and they're doing fine and they have a nice parnosa and they have wonderful children and you enjoy their company, so you invite them over for a Shabbos meal. That has nothing to do with Hachnasas Orchim. That's being described, Hachnasas Orchim, Dikocholim, Hachnasas Kalo, Vayasameis, in the categories of Gnivus Hasodim. There has to be a need that the other person has. Having said that, it does not necessarily have to be an ani b'tzedakah, you know, an ani that qualifies to get tzedakah, although that certainly is achnasa sorchin. It's also a stranger that doesn't know his way around town. It's also somebody who's a mar nefesh. You know, taking somebody in who just lost their husband, for example, became an almana. You could be a next-door neighbor, you could know her for 50 years. But that traumatic experience renders her very vulnerable and very in great distress. And your encouragement and her being in an environment of encouragement is a tremendous chesed. So it's a much broader definition than just being an oni. But it's not friends getting together. You know, that's not achnasa sorchin. Same thing is true if you have a neighbor that has a kid that has all kinds of issues or problems. You know, you bring him in and you mekarev of him. Of course that's achnasas orchim, plus a few other things. But the general perception that, you know, getting together with friends, this Shabbos I go to you, that Shabbos you go to me, this is not achnasas orchim. So when the Gemara says, Gedola achnasas orchim mekabolas pnei ashchina, it's usually taken to mean that the greatness of that kind of achnasas orchim, which qualifies as achnasas orchim, be'emes, is greater than kabolas pnei ashchina, which says a lot about Yiddishkeit in general. And says a lot about it being on the Mechavero, in the positive sense as well as in the negative. You know, if you fail to do that, it's Keilu, you were not Mechavok Nashim. Gemara says in Sanhedrin with Benogea, the Kiddush Levona, the Birchas Levona, right? Moli Lozochel, Hakbuk Pnei Avim Shebashamayim Pamachas Bachodesh Dayon, we say ourselves at the end of the Kiddush Levona. The union of Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina is the very beginning. People traveled all the way to Yushalayim Alila Rego for it. So Gdol Achnasas Orchim, that's the mile of Achnasas Orchim. The Netziv turns it upside down. What do I mean by upside down? The Netziv says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a Torah to keep. And that Torah to keep sometimes, in a certain sense, takes you away from being constantly meditating upon Hashem and being involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And if he wants to take you away, then that's your way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe l'mohadov adomah. He doesn't give that moshe, but this is the point. Let's say that somebody decided that, you know, you were very close to the king or to the president, and he decided to reward you by making you an ambassador to Outer Mongolia. So if you don't want to go to Outer Mongolia because you want to stay closer to the king, it makes a lot of sense. But you have to go, because that's That's your tactic. So if a person understands that, then he understands that sometimes mitzvahs actually take away from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the mitzvah. In the Lashon HaGemara, they don't say mitzvahs in general. They say Hachnas HaSarcha. So you know what he says? He says, even Hachnas HaSarcha. The Mamish turns it around completely. It's not the greatness of Hachnas HaSarcha, it's the limitations of Hachnas HaSarcha. Because it's the kind of mitzvah that's basically a scarvis to people thing. So, Marash, better stay close to Hashem. So even such a thing, which you're going away from Hashem just to be close to people, to be makar of them, to be machazik them, to give them tzedakah, and so on and so forth, that is also the kind of avodas Hashem that Hashem wants, and insists that for that purpose, even for that purpose, you should remove yourself from it. You have maybe, I want to get it, maybe a hamik dover on Brachos, if there is one at hand, just... Now, if you can't find it, just come right back. There's another point, meanwhile, that I wanted to make, which is in the Chasam Sofer that I've mentioned many, many times already in Shir over the years. In the Hakdoma to the Chasam Sofer, Chelek Yerideya, that's one of the reasons that many people never find it, is because it's not at the beginning in Orach Chaim, it's in Yerideya, for whatever reason. So when they published the Chasam Sofer in Yerideya, the children published a Hakdoma, very beautifully called Pituchei Chosam, which is a play on the whole the idea that the name of the Sefer is Chasam Sofer. Pituchei Chosam is the Bafteach, or the Pesach, to the Chosam. It's a play on words. In there, they point out that when the Chasam Sofer was a youngster, probably from Miyoyim Omdoy Aldaitoy, he was just learning Yoyim Balayla, nothing else. And as he grew older and he became more proficient and also more famous, he was the Talmud Mufak of two of the great Rabbanim of Frankfurt, the Hafla, Pinchas Horowitz, and Reb Nelson Adler. So he was, of course, in a certain sense, made famous for that alone. They say that Marit Al-Ghazi, the very famous Pirush on Maseches Bechoros, so he was a Shadar, Shluch of Rabbanon, he was a collector. Like they come here from Eretz Yisrael to collect money. He used to go to Europe in his day, which was quite a while ago. And he came to Frankfurt to collect money for the Kehillah in Eretz Yisrael that he was collecting for. And he was received with a tremendous Kabbalah upon him. He was one of the Gedolei Hador. The Chidor was also a Shadar. You know, they had these very big people coming to collect money. So he came and he was received, and the way they lined up was that the Rabbonim of the town were all the way on the top of the steps of the shul, a lot of steps, and in the middle was Shiva Tuvi Yair, and on the bottom was the Hamona. So as he looked up, walking up the steps, he noticed that there was a youngster next to the Rabbonim, and he says, "Who's that?" So they said, "That's the next Gadol Hador." So the Chasam Sofer was sitting and learning Yom Valayla. And he was suddenly confronted with the opportunity to be a Rav. Now, a Rav is a tremendous burden and a tremendous responsibility. You have to understand something. It says in the Rambam, it sounds like a terrible digression, but you'll see my point right away. It says in the Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that Akol Chayav Bein Ish, Bein Oni, Bein Osher, Bein Shalom, Bein Gufo, Bein Baal Yisurim, Fil Oni HaMachaz Al HaPsochim, Fil Baal Yishu Bonim. The last thing that he mentions, including Zokein Shetosh Askocha, all these difficult matzovim, all the circumstances that make it very difficult to learn, he says, nevertheless, the Chayovim L'Kvaya Lehem Zman Lilmav Torah Bayom U'Balayla Sheneamar V'Hogisa Bayom U'Balayla. It sounds like he's going up a ladder in terms of difficulty. And the very last thing that he mentions is Vafilu Baal Isha Ubanim. So the some of Farshim ask, what do you mean? Baal Isha Ubanim is worse than Zokin Pashash Toycha, somebody who's a Baal Yisurim, or an Oni HaMachazar Al HaPsochit, that he's the ultimate, he is Mechuyev, to be Koveya Yitim Bayom of Alayla. So some suggest that Vafilu Baal Isha Ubanim is not a separate category, but it's an inflection of the Oni. Not only is he an Oni HaMechazal of Sochem for himself, But that ani is a balisho banim, and he needs a tremendous amount, and it takes him completely away. Even he's mechuyev. That's the ultimate. An ani who is also a balisho banim. But I suggested that the Rambam means it quite simply, afilu balisho banim. Balisho banim, in terms of onus, is not the highest onus. In a chanami, somebody has yisurim would probably find it much harder to sit and learn. Somebody who is very old and falls asleep every 5 minutes is going to find it very hard to learn. And a Baal Yisho Banim is not going to find it as hard. So why is he the last one? The answer is because what the Rambam is doing is he's introducing a separate category. Why is Baal Yisho Banim a separate category? Because all the others are dinim of Ones Rachmona Patre. But the Torah doesn't tell you to have Yisurim. The Torah doesn't tell you to become an Ani. The Torah doesn't tell you that you should be Zaken Gadol V'Shetoshash Kol. These are matzavim, and the matzavim take you away from the capacity to learn. So you'd think maybe you're part of Lagamri. No, you chayev at least l'kvoyas man b'yom u'balayla. That minimal amount of Talmud Torah, everyone is mechuyevin. No one can say onus rachmona patri. How do we know this? Of course, from the Gemara Daf Lamed Bet Yuma, Hil mechayev aniyim, Rav Elazar ben Chasa mechayev ashirim, etc., etc. That's not a Baal Yisho Banim. Baal Yisho Banim is not a question of onus rachmona patri. Baal Yisho Banim is mitzvah of Isaac the mitzvah potim in that mitzvah category, because you have an achrayis to be mefarnes your Yisho Banim. So the Rambam is saying that maybe this category you'd say, well, he's potter legamri from learning, not als onus rachmona patre, but because the chiyuv is mechayiv him in such a way that he is not allowed to learn because he has to make a parnosa. Kamash malon, that this minimal amount the Torah did not preclude by being mechuyev to be mefarnes yisho banim, no matter what it takes. And sometimes it could be from 8 in the morning till 12 o'clock at night you have to work just to provide them with parnasa. Afo pikein, you're going to be mechuyev to be kaveya some zman b'yoyim and some zman b'layla lumo Torah. So the reason that's at the end is not because it's a bigger nisayon like yisurim and poverty, but because those don't have a machayev that the Torah compels you to do something that takes you away from learning. Whereas Baal Yisho Banim does. And this is exactly what the expression, what is the famous expression that Ben Azai said, he doesn't want to get married. Rechayim b'tzavoro v'yasok b'torah. So what does it mean, rechayim b'tzavoro? So normally people think that it's a mashal that just shows, like, you know, why in the world should one person want to get married and have all of this burden on his shoulders? But it's not reichayim in the colloquial sense. It's a halachic expression. It means, in other words, that since he is meshubad, what is reichayim? Reichayim is an eved. Reichayim b'tzavaro means he's meshubad to his wife and his children. A person's meshubad, so those shibudim anchor him and take him away from learning. It's the chiyuv that takes him away from learning, not simply the fact that they have to have food, so meanwhile I'm busy. It's the fact that the Torah asks you to be busy, compels you to be busy. That's Rechayim B'Tzavaro. Same thing applies to Rabbonus. You can't become a Rav and then say, when that person has a problem, I want to sit and learn. There's no such thing. Then don't become a Rav. Again, analogy. The Vilna Gaon knew all the sciences of his time. But the Vilna Gaon refused to study one practical science. Medicine. Practical medicine. It was theoretical medicine, you know. That's a different story. But practical medicine, how to heal a person, how to do surgery, whatever it was that they knew at the time, he refused to study. Why? What was his svara? He says, because as long as he doesn't know it, if something happens, he's not a hatzolah, because he doesn't know how. But if something would happen and he knows, he would be obligated to stop learning to save that person. So words, if you're a doctor or a surgeon or whatever it is, and you see somebody falling in the street, you can't just turn around and say, well, you know, somebody else will take care of it. If you're there and it's your responsibility, nothing can... But he, by not learning it in to begin with, he would never be over, because unfortunately, if somebody, something like that happened and he wasn't capable of knowing, there's nothing he can do, because he could just, well, kill him and then bring him back to life. By his incompetence. So you'll say, L'samad adam reyechos mechayiv, that you should learn how to heal. So obviously he didn't hold that. So b'kitzer, when you're a Rav, don't become a Rav. Don't take the Rabbonus. But if you become a Rav, you have to know that whatever happens, if you have to counsel somebody, or if somebody's sick, or if somebody needs to be held, his held needs to be, his hand needs to be held, I mean, because going through a very difficult time, or because they want to get divorced, and you have to convince them that it's not good to get divorced, look at those poor children, etc., etc. Or somebody asks you a shaila about kashrus, about how to take care of the bulb that they left on in the refrigerator, you can't say, leave me alone, I want to sit and learn. So when the Chassam Sefer was asked to take upon himself the Rabbanus of Freshburg, he had this tremendous dilemma. Here he has this big yeshiva. In those days, yeshiva doesn't mean like today. Because there's people that gathered around, they took care of themselves, they fended for themselves. But they came to hear the Rav Shir, the Rosh Yeshiva Shir. So you didn't solicit Talmidim, and you didn't know if you were famous, people gravitated towards you. So he didn't know if you'd have 10 people or 1,000 people. But he had a huge oilam that was attracted to him, that he was teaching Torah. He was a very big Marbitz Torah already. And he didn't know if he should take the Rabbis. In the end, he did. So his children write a very remarkable thing. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Zdom says, HaMachasa ani me'avroam es asher ani oseh. Am I holding back from Avraham Avinu? Avraham, he says, Ki yedatim l'man ashe yitzav, it's one of his base of Avraham, right? Right there in that context, Parshas Vayek. Shomu Derech Hashem, lasis stok of Mishpat Seh. The children say that the Chassam Sefer, subsequent to his coming to Preshburg, was zeicha to an even bigger yeshiva and a greater hatzloch in Arbatz's Torah per se, never mind all the other things that he did. So he explained the hatzlocha as a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was he zeicha to that gift? Because of his commitment to Klal Yisrael that normally should have taken him away from his hatzlocha and learning of his aliyah, the Torah, and of his being close, because through Torah you get very close to Hashem. All of that he was willing to sacrifice for Hashem's people, for the Sain Kadoshim for which he is supposed to be a Roeh Ne'eman. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him Mida Keneged Mida, that because you're willing to give up all that his Karvus to Hashem, I am going to give you an even greater measure of his Karvus to Hashem. So the Chassam Sefer interpreted the Psukim by Avraham Avinu in that vein, that Avraham was actually denying himself his koach hanevuah. Avraham, because he left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is just a maisa apparently, that the way the Chassam Sofer understands is not one maisa. This was perpetually like that. He was busy with all the schleppers of all the kaifrim, of all the oivdei avodah zarah. There were plenty of rachatz uragleichem, and there were plenty of people that he had to debate and debate and debate. And in all that time, he could have been miskarev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rise himself to higher and higher madregas of nevuah, which he denied himself for the sake of these people and for the sake of v'ahavteis Hashem elokecha sheyehei shem shamayim misahev al yadecha. Zera Avraham ohav, the Avraham is called the ohev Hashem. So when Avraham, the ohev Hashem, gives up Hashem and gives up his miskarevus to Hashem, gives up the ability to be misnabev, the ruach HaKodesh that's within him, is being stifled because of that distance from Hashem. But why did he have the distance from Hashem? Because he wants to take care of Hashem's people, of the people, to bring them closer to Hashem. So Hashem says, what you can't get in the normal way, I will give you as a maton of legami, a maton of gemur. So that's the pshat. Hamechasa nime Avraham means Avraham is not zoiche to know what's going on in stone. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, will I keep it from him because he didn't reach that madrega of nevuah? Now, you and I, we would never be able to say that. If one of somebody in Shir said something like that, I would throw him out of Shir. But how do you know what Avraham's thinking and whether Avraham had a measure or didn't have a measure? But the Chassam Sefer, you know, that's already a different story. The Chassam Sefer became the Amura HaRoah Ad Hayom. Ad Hayom. There's not one pesek of any kind, Sfar the Ashkenazi, since the Chassam Sefer, that doesn't talk about the Chassam Sefer's shittas and his his anhogas and whatever. Ki yedativ, I love him. Rashi says loshen chiba l'man hashem yitzaves bono bez beis yachlo. Shamu derech Hashem. What is he doing all of this? Why is he staying away from me? Because he needs to take care of my agenda. with the world. I'm going to keep him from having that gift which he denied himself for my sake. That's not right. So Hashem gave it to him, but Matana, but Avram was not zeichet to by his own efforts because he was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Chassam Sefer's children write about the Chassam Sefer. Because he gave up that Madrega that he, and he was concerned about it, but he gave it up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him that he had a bigger yeshiva with greater Talmidim, all the great Talmidim that are very famous subsequently, apparently from that later Tkufa. His Torah is Chibur. That's another thing. And then there's something else that I wanted to tell you. The Gemara says that Isha Einot Tzara Ba'orchid Yosem Inot Eish. A woman has a very narrow perspective. She doesn't like strangers stepping on her carpet. Stay away. Einot Tzara Ba'orchid. She has an Ayin Tzara. Ayin Tzara. You know what Ayin Tzara is? Ayin Tzara means, how would you translate it in English? Well, not a narrow perspective, which is maybe what Ayin Tzara Tzara means, narrow, yes, true. She's not cheap either. No. It's not word, stinginess.
Word
exactly.
Like focused?
Tzara,
like
saying? No, Tzara, Tzadik Resh. Tzar, it's correct. I mean, it means narrow. Ayin is Nekeva, so it's Tzara. But it's Tzara. Ayin Tzara is obviously the opposite of Ayin Rechava. But Ayin Tzara means that she has a disdain. She has a disdain for Orchid. She has a contempt for that. Because she doesn't want them. Stay away. So, what's the example? And how did Chazal know this? So every time Avraham Avinu said solus, she said kama. In other words, she didn't want to give them solus. She wanted to give them kama. I wanted to be mazbir something. You have in the Haftorah of this parasha, Mamish, you have the Maisa of the Shumamis. Now, the Amisness people think that it's because there it says, Ka'es Chayo At Chovekes Bein, by Elisha with the Shumamis, that she's going to have a child, and before that she was barren. And Sarah, Ka'es Chayo V'hinei Bein L'Sarah Yishtecha. It's almost the same words. Elisha is using the words of the Torah. But the real reason I believe is because there's this great woman, Sarah, and there's this great woman, the Shunamis. If you look at this, at the story of the Shunamis, you see a very remarkable thing. She is in the absolute forefront. She's actually ahead of her husband in the Hachnosas Orchin that she does for Elisha. Elisha comes and he used to feed him a meal, and then he would go and find lodging elsewhere. The Gemara tells us that Elisha's Hanhaga was different than Shmuel's Hanhaga. Shmuel, wherever he went, he refused to be nana a mashu from the people of the communities that he visited. He used to make a rounds, right, Uchuvaso Haramasa Kishon Beso. And every year he would end up coming back to Ramah because that's where he lived. But the rest of the year he wandered through the length and breadth of Eretz Israel to be mashpia on the people, to answer shaylas, to do the holy work of Shmuel Haraya, Shmuel HaNavi. But in all of these travels, you have to eat, you have to sleep. He did not take a penny. He took his own kitchen with him. He pitched his own tent. He did not want anybody to give him anything. The Gemara says, Haraytza Shaloi Lehonois, he has a model of Shmuel. Why is the Chiddush? If he doesn't want to be Nana, the Chiddush is that you can take from others. What is the Chiddush? You don't want to take from others. Kalakavo? The answer is because taking from people is makariv you to them. And the opposite, refusing people that opportunity, makes them feel uncomfortable, to say the least. Might even make them antagonistic. So Chazal have to tell you, nevertheless, if that's your derech, you can stick to that derech and you have a role model. Who's your role model? Shmuel. Whatever person wants to be nana, he also has a role model. The Rambam points out that all these gemaras, because the Rambam's shita is that you're not supposed to be misparnes from other people, you have to have your own parnosa. But what about Elisha? So he wasn't the Spanish, just you know, the little things. But that doesn't give a person parnasa. You know, that doesn't let him sustain himself and his family and so on. So he says that, you know, gifts you can receive. You know, tokens of affection, tokens of appreciation. In any case, Elisha, the Gemara says, is a role model for those who took. What's his role model? how much can you take? So at the beginning, he went to the Shunamis, and the Shunamis invited him in to eat a meal, and then he went elsewhere. But finally, she says to her husband the famous words, "Hinei ish kadosh over aleinu tamid." There's an ish kadosh that is constantly returning to our town and passing by. Nasaloi aliyas ketana, and nasim sham shulchan. Mita, Kisa, and Menaira, and Mita, Shulchan, Kisa, and Menaira, four pieces of furniture in the room. And they did, but she's the one who gave the initiative. She's giving the answers. It's very unusual. What do you mean, Isha ain't at Sarah Baruch? Not only does she invite him in, but she makes it, you know, stronger and stronger. So what's the pshat? The pshat is very pashut. If it's an ish kadosh, you want that ish kadosh in your house because your job is to guarantee the purity and the kedusha of that house. She is the sentinel that guards the ohel. Now Avraham Avinu, he's bringing in three Bedouins. I don't want Bedouins. I'm not interested in Bedouins. I don't want the hashpah of Bedouins. She says to him. He says, "What about achnasas arkin?" And what about being Makarev Mashpia? Aren't you yourself Sara Makayeres as Hanoshim? She says, "Yeah, I go into the marketplace and I talk to them, but I don't want them in my house. I don't want them contaminating my house. I don't want the Hashpa in my house. I don't want different values and different Hashkafas till they become all right. They could do all kinds of damage. So you feed them, fine, but feed them Kemach. Don't get them excited. I don't want them back. You give them solace, they'll come back. I don't want them back." The Shunamis, "I want him back." So the pshat of Isha Einat Sar Ba'orchim it's not a blanket statement the way I'm learning. It depends who the Ireach is. If the Ireach is a positive hashpah, the woman may be in the forefront because she wants to enhance that home. If the person is of a negative hashpah, then in a chanami she doesn't want. So she says, "Give him kemach, but don't give him solace." That was the dialogue back and forth. Avram is midas ha-chesed. Chesed, by definition, the word chesed, is excessive or exaggerated. It's beyond rational, the rational limit, beyond the halachic limit sometimes. Chesed, by Arayas, he says chesed. That's another vart that I always wanted to say. I point out, where is the marker for this, by the way? It's very interesting. In the end of Hilchas Saita, where's the marker that of this idea that the Isha is the sentinel that guards the home? So I want to point out a Rambam which seems to say the opposite. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sota, all of these things, this isn't Drush, this is Aleph Beis of Hashkafas HaTorah. All these things I mentioned in Shir a number of times in the past. I'm not being mechadish anything today. The Rambam, afraid that these sparm will fall down. Okay. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sota, which is the end of Sefer Noshim, the Rambam says that it's the husband / father that is obligated to concern himself about the spiritual welfare of the home. This is the words of the Rambam. Mitzvahs Chachomim, how does it come into Hilchos Sota? Because the Rambam goes Madrega to Madrega. Mitzvahs Chachomim Avnei Yisrael Lekanez L'Nesheyen, to be very concerned about the physical purity of their wives, that the wives do not have anything to do with other men. Lekanez L'Nesheyen Shenema V'kinei Yisishta. And don't make a joke I saw you hanging around with this guy. You start quarreling and you say, you're a tramp. Even if he did it for all kinds of negative reasons or inappropriate reasons, but kinui is kinui. That's how he gets to this whole Indian The next to the last halacha in Sefer Noshim is about kinyus deal. Then the Rambam says, "Ein roi likpoitzu lekanois b'fnei eidim tchila, ela beino leveino benachas u'bederech para v'azhara, kidei lehadricha bederech yishara u'lohasir hamichsho. V'chol mi she'eino makpid al ishto, v'al bonov u'vnei vei." So the Rambam here makes a leap in two directions b'vasachas. From the halacha that he's mechuyev to concern himself in a gentle and positive and proactive way, that his wife remains tznua in inyanei tznius, the Rambam jumps in two directions. First of all, that it's not just tznius, it's all mitzvahs ha-Torah, it's kashrus, it's Shabbos, and so on and so forth. That's to concern himself about how she opens up the boxes on Shabbos and the paper bags and tearing the letters and all of that. That's also in this halacha. It's not just tznius. Then the Rambam's second leap is that it's not just the wife, it's the entire household. So the Rambam jumped from mitzvah l'kanes lishto b'derech tara, and he says v'azhara v'chol misha ino makbid al ishto v'al bono v'bnei v'iso the gemara yivamas afsanach beit umas iran u'poke d'archei em tomid ad sheyeda. To what extent is he mechuyev to watch over the household? To the extent that he knows that everything is perfect. Anything that he feels he needs to talk about or to admonish or to warn the members of his family, it is his obligation to do so. How do you know that if he doesn't do it, he's a chote? Shenema v'yodato kisholom ahalecha ufakadato novecha v'lo zechta. And you shall know that there is peace in your and tranquility in your house, and you shall admonish your your home, and if you do so, you shall not sin. Mashma, of course, that if you don't admonish, it will be regarded as a sin. The Rambam says, "Harei zechote." So what do you see from this Rambam? I mean, first of all, you see the basic halacha, that it's an obligation on the part of the father-husband as head of the household to be responsible for the goings-on of the household and for the spiritual and practical avodas Hashem that is expected of all the members of the household. So he can't say that I have no greater responsibility, you're an adult, you lead your own life. I had a very interesting maisa yesterday. You speak about rabbanus and taking you away from learning. I get a call in the middle of preparing the shiur. This person, I told him half an hour ago to call me back. I thought I would be finished. I'm not finished. He's something very much on his mind. What's on his mind? He's a fellow who got divorced and somebody read him a shidduch. A woman read him a shidduch. She's about 12 years older than he is. Why is that important? I'll tell you in a second. A married woman read him a shidduch and she started to talk to him. And from the talking became a conversation, from the conversation became many conversations. And from many conversations, never talked about anything really personal, but they went far beyond Shidduchim. And finally, one day, meaning yesterday, this fellow realizes that it's crazy. He's talking to a married woman as if she was one of his best friends. And you know, like, how did this happen? So he says he called her up and he said, this has to stop. And she got hysterical. She says, that's what my husband does. He always cuts me off. So Philly playing. He understands. So he says to her, but I don't understand that. What you're saying is that you're talking to me because you can't talk to your husband. And she was very, very upset. She wasn't upset that he's accusing her. She's not upset that because she realized, you know, she's not supposed to be doing this. She's upset because he's stopping to talk to her. So So this is what the Rambam says. That the husband has to be responsible that such a thing should never happen. But it's true not only of the wife, but also of the bnei bayis. So I ask you a question. If that's the case, I said before that it's the woman is the sentinel of the house. The Rambam's mashma pretty clear that it's not the case. So the emissan is that it's not at all a stira. Both have very specific tafkidim. Now, sometimes a husband needs to take over that woman-like role, and sometimes a woman has to take the husband-like role. But they really have two separate tafkid. The tafkid of a woman is that you are standing at the door, ki'ilu, and you make a mechitza between your home and the outside world. That's her tafkid. Because that's the taich of hinei ba'ohel. Husband is in and husband is out. Husband is in and husband is out. Wife is in. That's the image that Chazal portray all the time, and the Rambam as well. The wife is in, she has the responsibility to keep what's in and what's out. And that's a separate mechayiv in the household. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is the difference between being okay that something already has gone wrong and you have to fix it. That's the husband's responsibility. That's why halacha is his responsibility. Naturally, to teach the halacha so that it shouldn't happen is chelik of that responsibility. But the ikar is that he's always on guard lest they do something wrong. It means that already something is in the house that's not good. The wife's responsibility is that whatever's outside of the house doesn't have the hashpah to make things no good. So how do I know that's true? Maybe it's just an idea. It's like a nice thought, but who says that it's true? The Gemara in Yevamos, that same Gemara, Samach Beis Samach Gimel, which says that an Isha is important to a husband, you know, his wife is, he should get married, and the wife is important, it's a critical factor in his learning, and his simcha sachayim, and on and on. Shari b'loi Torah, b'loi simcha. One of the things is shari below choma. If he's without a wife, he's without a fortress, without the wall, without the mechitza. Many say that the minute that the wife in the Ashkenazi circles, pardon the pun, goes around the chosan is to create that choma. People think it's to break down the choma, like Yericho. It's not to break down the choma. It could be that circling the bima on Hashanah Rabbah is doing that. There are mepharshim that say it's like breaking down the wall. But that's a different story. In the case of the Isha, when she goes around the chosan at the chuppah, she is building a wall. She is creating and circling him. She's creating the wall. How do you know? Because the Gemara says if she is shari b'lay chayma, and they quote the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, nekeva to soivev gover. The nekeva, the kala, the wife, encircles the man, encircles her husband. So what is the pshat? That she's creating the mechitza between the street and the home. That's why Isha eina tzara ba'archem, because she's creating that mechitza and she doesn't want a breach in the wall that she has created. Because the oihel and the street are antagonists. And she does not want the oihel to be inspired by the street. So you stay out and leave us alone. The emes, these two ideas, the end of saita for the man and the chayma for the woman, are in the pasuk Shma b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh tayrasi nefa. Because I always point out that besides using the word musar and tayra, there's a very big difference between the two in the verbs. One is positive, shma b'ni. It means he's starting from zero, and it's a proactive thing. I want you to gather around and listen to me, because I am about to teach you, so you have to listen. If you don't teach, there's nothing to listen to. It's mehayoyim v'hola that's going on. I am going to give you a lesson presently. What about Al Titosh? What does Al Titosh say to you? Where is the lesson? It's already, because Al Titosh means don't abandon it. Don't abandon what? Tayrasi Mecha. When was Tayrasi Mecha? If you tell somebody not to abandon something, it means it's already there. Do you understand the chiluk between the two? Shma b'ni means it's not yet there, and I'm going to give it to you. You come into Shir at 10:45, and the Shir hasn't happened yet, and the Rebbe says, I'm going to teach you Torah. That's Shma b'ni. So I want you to listen. Shma b'ni. But in the case of the mother, it's the admonishment is don't lose what she already gave you. Don't forget or abandon what she already gave you. So when was the lesson? The lesson was yesterday. What is the reason for that chiluk in Lashon? Why doesn't it say Shema b'ni musar v'icha u'shema gam taras imecha? Or al titosh taras v'icha v'gam al titosh taras imecha? So the answer is, not because, you know, we like to change words around so it should be interesting. It's because the tafkid of the Isha and the tafkid of the Isha is very, very different in the house. And that's what the father and mother have different roles to play. One of them is, I teach you by example, by creating the aura, by creating the environment, by building the choma. The choma's lesson is sometimes the absence of influence, the absence of negatives, rather than the creation of positives. And if the creation of positives is by example, by living, But it isn't that she sits them down and she starts giving them shiur. Masha'in kein shema b'ni is the exact opposite. I have to sit down and tell you what's right and what's wrong. The Rambam Hilchos Sota is the shema b'ni. The chayma that's being created that the Gemara Yevamah Samach Beis talks about is al tifesh. So that's why it says here that Sarah wanted only kemach, and Avraham said, no, you have to do Silas. And that's why we went back, Kemach Silas. There's one more thing that I wanted to tell you. After Avraham Avinu, also something I say many, many times, but I believe this very, very strongly. After Avraham Avinu has the opportunity to speak to Hashem, literally, and daven to Hashem for Sodom, yeah? It says that stone was destroyed. Stone was destroyed. Hashem himtir al stone ba'al mora gofis va'esh me'es Hashem in Hashemayim. And everything was destroyed. Then it says that, I always point out, it's very easy to find the pasuk that I'm about to discuss because it's right literally after the pasuk Fatehi Nitziv Melach. That Lot's wife becomes a pillar of salt. The next pasuk, v'tabet ishto me'acharov, v'tehi nitziv melach. The very next pasuk, without even batting an eye, as they say, just mamish right into it. There's not even a samach here or a pei, nothing. V'yashkem Avraham baboker el hamokom asher amad sham es pnei Hashem. And then it tells the stories about Lot and his daughters with their Mashkenu Avinu, and they lived with him, and they had Ammon and Moab. So like in the middle of the story, so I want to point out one thing before I even continue. Had you taken a pair of scissors, and you would have excised Vayashkev Avraham Vayashkev, and you would have continued with Pasuk Choftes over Vahi B'Shaches Elokim, you would never have noticed. You would not notice that anything is missing. No one would have ever noticed that anything is missing, because it says that Lot ran with his wife. His wife turned into an Etziv Melech, and then Hashem remembered Lot, and he allowed him to escape. And the Maisa of Lot and his daughters occurred. Seamless as seamless can be. In the middle, Mamish, are two psukim about Avraham Avinu, which don't seem to have any real connection except that it occurred at that time. Namely, that Avraham gets up in the morning to the place where he stood es pnei Hashem. And he looks and he sees that all of Sodom and Amorah is destroyed. And how does he see? He sees the kitar. He sees the pillars of smoke from the destruction, after the aftermath of the destruction. So I want to understand what's going on. Chazal learn from this pasuk two halachas. Number one, Avraham tikein tefila shachris. Says Vayashkim Avraham babok. Number two, you have to be koiveya mokoim l'tfilosa, correct? You have to be koiveya, a place for your tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech, and you can't just, daven to him at random, you have to, or whatever the reason of kriyas is, maybe kriyas is aloch and kavona, but whatever kriyas is, you have to be koiveya mokoim l'tfilosa. How do you know? Because Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, when he davened tefillah shachris, where did he go? He went to that very spot where he had davened before, for Sodom, when he had his dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela mokom asher omad shom es pnei Hashem. I have a hergesh about koveya mokom l'tfilas. A third shot. It's not because of you might say the chashivus of being koveya mokom, which is respect for the melech. And it's not because it's better for your kavana. There's a third reason. It's because it allows you to connect to earlier tefillahs. and I'll explain to you in a moment what I mean. Avraham Avinu is now doing something that is literally the opposite, but literally the opposite of his previous tefillah. In what way is the opposite? Well, you tell me. It says that he went back to his previous makom, where he was mispalel es pnei Hashem. There are two major ways in which that differs, that tefillah differed from this tefillah. Number one, this tefillah is keva. It's an established tefillah that from now on, everybody that's associated with me, my son, my grandson, Klal Yisrael, has the daven tefillah shacharis. The Rambam in the Hilchos Malachim, famous Rambam that I mention all the time, he says there are six mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam. The seventh, Eber Menachai, was given to Noach. Those are the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzav Avram al Amila, v'hu tikein tefillah shacharis. Whatever the Rambam is trying to say, but the Rambam says that Avram was mitakin tefillah shacharis. The Gemara in Brochus and elsewhere, we find Avram was mitakin tefillah shacharis. Good. Tikkun and keva is the opposite of the mice of Sdom. Sdom is the most ad hoc tefillah you could imagine. There's a serious problem. It's going to happen now. And Avram is mispalel now. It's like the operation is about to take place and the surgeon is lifting up the knife and here you're davening to Hashem, Ribbono Shel'olam, please save this patient. So keva is, there's no ad hoc, there's no immediate concern, and it also, as I always say, endangers tefillah, because keva says that no matter what, and whatever your matzav and whatever your mood, you have to daven shacharis. Of course you have to have kavanah, but to have kavanah becomes a nisayon, whereas in the case of Sdom, what do you mean, I have to have kavanah? Every fiber in him is fighting for Sdom. There's no need to have kavanah because ein lecha kavanah gedola mizu. The word kavanah doesn't even spell out what's going on. Then there's another tremendous chiluk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's talking back to you by Sdom. And here, in the kviyas of the tefillah, it says es pnei Hashem. It doesn't say that Hashem said anything to him. And then there's another thing. Another aspect of what's going on over here. So first of all, what's going on over here is that Avram created out of that previous tefillah, which is so diametrically opposite in those two major ways, a keva without a dialogue, tefillah called shacharis. And he dafka goes back to that place to do so. He can't do it where he is now. He has to go back. Koiveya makom b'tefillah. Okay? And then there's one more point that I have to point out to you, and that I haven't really said in the past when I'm speaking about this, and that is that it's a very interesting thing. You know, you're going back, what do you see when you go back? What do you see? You see that you failed. You see that your tefillah was not matzliach. At least that's what appears to the naked eye. Now, of course, what do we know? That his tefillah was matzliach. Gam vayhi b'shaches elikim es orei hakikar, vayizkar elikim es avra. Ayishalach es lot mitoch ha-hafeich. The pasuk seems to say crystal clear that the zechus of Lot was not in his own right, but because of Avram of it. Now, does Avram see this b'shas ma'aser? It doesn't say that he sees it b'shas ma'aser. Adarabah, the introduction of these two psukim between what seems to be the seamless connection of destruction of Sdom and the loss of Lot's wife and the episode of Lot with his with his daughter subsequently seems to be interrupted by Avraham Avinu's thing, these two psukim. He gets up, he goes back to the place, he's koivei tefillah, without a dialogue with Hashem, but dafka in that place, and he looks in that place and he sees all of the destruction. We don't know what it adds up to, it adds up to the following. Yiddishkeit insists that as much as ad hoc tefillah is important, and it never denied it, but that is not enough. You have to have a constant, in your life called Tefillah Lashem. And it's interesting that each of the Avos insisted that the previous constant or constants were not enough. And in the end is Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis, and each Tefillah has an extraordinary uniqueness of its own, which I'm not going to go into now. In the Shachris that Avraham Avinu establishes, there is a danger. And the danger is yesterday's tefillahs. And there's a double danger. Number one, routine. Number two, you don't hear the voice of Hashem. And maybe even more than you don't hear the voice of Hashem, you failed. Or it seems that you failed. The person died. You don't have the parnasa. Whatever it is. Whatever the bakasha is, whatever your beseeching Hashem was for, it doesn't happen. So you think that your tefillah is a failure, or that maybe there's no such thing. Hashem knows what to do, and He doesn't need you to ask. And if you ask or you don't ask, it's loy ma'al or loy ma'al. So but what did Avraham Avinu do? He needs to be kaveya makam with tefillah. Because by kaveya makam with tefillah, he means, and that's what I said, that maybe there's a third aspect, not just the kavod hamelach, not just the kavana, but also, you know, the kviyus means yishuv hadas, but also because you have to allow for all your tefillos in the past to inform the current tefillah, because it's the same place. Same place means I've davened here before. And there were hatzlachas. There were hatzlachas in kavana, if I failed to have kavana today. But I know there were days that I had hatzlachas. I know there were days that Hashem answered me. I know there were days that my tefillah was perfect. And all of that, I know there were days that I, even if I didn't hear the voice of Hashem, but I heard the voice of Hashem. Like Avram in Sodom, in fighting for Sodom. El amokom asha'om acham es pnei Hashem. You go back to the place where you were davening, and there were, as rare as it might be, there were good tefillahs. There were good bakoshes, and there was a hatzlocha in the tefillah. The person should know that that is not precluded today, and even if today seems to be a failure, it will not be precluded tomorrow. It's a tremendous yesod. And furthermore, a person has to know that he can look upon Sodom and see destruction, and then he has to know that Lot could be saved and you don't even know it at the time. A person never knows where his tefillos land and what they accomplish. They will never, ever know. In general, we have no idea the complex machinery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Sammy has a story to tell you. The Rosh Yeshiva, whatever you're calling Rabbi Kahn, was leaving to come to Yeshiva for Shabbos. He had this massive traffic jam, which was Lo Yeuman Ki Yisupar Shaloi Kederech HaTeva Mamish. It's not even a Geder of Ruach She'ena Mitzuya. It's like Katrina. 2.5 hours, 6 inches, he's stuck, and it's not Shayach, he calls up, and Baruch Hashem, he gets to this fellow Stuart Halpern, and Stuart Halpern calls Rabbi Orlean, and Rabbi Orlean makes arrangements. So he makes arrangements, he gets Rabbi Rapp from one of the other divisions to give the Tish Friday night. And Friday night's Tish, he's talking about Gairus. And in the audience, one of the Talmidim realizes, based on what he's saying, that he might himself not be Jewish, because his mother went into a Geirus. I don't know any of the details of that, but apparently he suspects from what he hears from Rabbi Rath that there might be cheshashas about that Geirus, maybe because it was a chasan kabbalas mitzvahs or whatever it is, and therefore he came to his Rebbe or whatever, and he asked him, so what about me? And they just went through a second Geirus just in case that he should be Mizgayer now. Could you imagine? That is the most incredible story. Now, if I would have come, I didn't have the slightest intention of talking about Geirus. Just goes to show. We'll never figure out, because we are very limited, we have no capacity, Baruch Shalom says, for a Misa Sachoray. If, in fact, you can see all kinds of things. Of course, the scientist, atheist, you know, the Chayyaroi, he'll say, yeah, coincidences, they happen all the time. All right. He calls a coincidence. We call hashgacha. And then besides which, you know, you see something b'chush, is the things you just can't deny. In this vein, whenever a person davens, he never will ever know what his hashpah is going to be. No Rebbe, no kindergarten teacher, no Rav, and no parent will ever know which way even one word goes 25 years down the road. L'toiv and not l'toiv. You never know. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of managing the world is too complicated for us to fathom. And in any case, we are of the here and the now. And in the here and the now, it looks like Stone is being destroyed and all that effort for Maisa was, if not wasted, just I failed. I wasn't such a good advocate. So when you go back to that place, you have to know that there were good tefillos and that there is a response from Hashem, and it's all part of one massively long tapestry that just stretches and stretches and stretches. But more than that, you have to know that if you suspect failure, who are you to know if you fail? There are plenty of people who say, Gedolim who say, that even though a tefillah, Tehillim, massive Tehillim, Tehillim by thousands of people, you know, have down these emails, say Tehillim to somebody, and then he dies. All right, so we tried and we failed. So they say, no, you never know what the Koyach HaTefillah had for somebody else or for his neshama. You just don't know. We don't have the ability to, you know, what I anticipate when I'm sitting there and, Rosh Hashivas don't curse, but when I'm sitting there and I'm lamenting that I'm not going to be able to be here for Shabbos. And it meant a lot to me to come here. I was very excited about it. I was planning, I was willing to skip a Shalom Zachar for it, of a grandson. But it was, to me, like nothing. I mean, coming to the yeshiva is a wonderful thing. So I'm saying, listen, traffic is traffic, and it happens. What can I do? But maybe traffic is not traffic, and maybe there's no such thing as what can I do? But because it had to happen exactly that way, a crane had to fall down, hundreds of people had to get delayed, many Jews had to get stranded, because this person has to know that he needs a gaze. It's incredible. In any case, that's what I wanted to tell you about the Ayashkim Avram Baboker, that it's kind of like thrown in over here between what otherwise would be seen with Sukkot. Do we have any time at all to do a little Baba Basra?
20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. 20 minutes is 20 minutes.